Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that God's still moving around this world? And I believe what he's done for us, he'll do for others. So at the close of the service, you're going to get an opportunity to sow into the ministry. And maybe, you know, we've decided that one of the greatest ways we can do wells, we do our water wells for $1,500, but when we add on a generator and a pump and a big container, we can get water to more people than ever before. So if you want to get involved, just ask the Lord what he'd have you to do, and I believe we'll see great things happen. Lori, bring me that stuff on the front row real quick. And I'm glad my wife is with me today. And we've been married, in November, be 29 years. I told somebody not long ago we were married 24. I don't know what happened to those other years, but anyway, I'm so glad that she's with me today. And out in the foyer, we have the book that we've written, Principles for Prosperity, Rock Solid Principles for Prosperity. We have the book we've written, Faith for the Holy Ghost. And we have some MP3 sermons out there. But one of the things that we brought with us again is our favorite word, whatever. Everybody say whatever. And then the back has a greater word, Philippians 4:8, whatever's pure, just, and lovely, you think on these things. And again, I always say it like this, the shirt's worth about $15, but I sell it for $20. Everybody say whatever. Now, why do I sell it for $20? Because that extra $5, we're able to feed 5 children a meal. And it blesses somebody. So be a blessing to somebody. We have those in small through 3 extra large, and they're available in the back. All right, praise God. Why don't you stand with me? Pastor, appreciate you so very much. I love coming here because one of the reasons your pastor loves the move of God. Not every pastor loves the move of God, because sometimes it's difficult when God moves, you know, and it changes things and it rearranges things. But I'm so glad for your pastor and his wife, and I know you're blessed here. God has given you a wonderful gift, and we're going to see great things happen this week. Now, I want to challenge you. I'll give an altar call every night for salvation. Bring people that need to get saved. Wednesday night especially, I'm going to preach a real evangelistic message that I believe if you got some family, you ought to bring them here. I'm going to talk about the coming of the Lord, but I believe it'll be a great message to impact somebody's heart and life. And then we'll pray for people if they want to be prayed for. If you don't want to be prayed for, well, don't come to get prayed for. That's how we deal with this, all right? But if you want to, you come and get prayed for. Listen, if you come to the altar this week to get prayed for, I'm not going to go spitting all over you. I'll just tell you that right off the bat. I'm going to probably put my hand on your shoulder, and I'm going to not be even in your face. So I'm just trying to get you just to relax a little bit, okay? Because I didn't bring any oaky germs with me. All right? But you know what? You know what? I found that during this time, people still need prayers. They need God to touch them, and God can move this week if you'll let him. I've already had a bunch of people tell me they're coming this week, so don't embarrass your pastor by you not showing up and inviting somebody else, all right? I'm going to bring some of my friends. You bring some of yours, and you know what? Maybe you don't even like me. There's probably somebody here that doesn't like me, but I'm part of your family whether you like it or not. Because of the blood of Jesus, I am family today, so you're stuck with me. And you know, if you really don't like me, I'm going to pray that my mansion is next door to yours when we get to heaven. Hallelujah. I'm just messing around a little bit. But I'm glad to be with the family of God today, and it feels good, you know, to be here together. All right, Matthew 5, verse number 6. I want to read it off the screen. If you can see that, I want everybody to read it with me, all right? Matthew 5 and 6. Let's begin. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. One more time. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the utterance of the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Lord, for the gifts of the Spirit that are in operation today, that we may profit by the manifestation. We declare this to be the place of freedom. We declare it to be the place of revival. We declare this to be the place of breakthrough. And Lord, I pray that the gift of God would be stirred up in me today in a mighty way. Lord, let nobody leave here like they have come. Lord, let angels minister unto every one of us, the heirs of salvation today. Lord, we declare today that nothing is impossible as we mix the word with faith. Let it explode in our spirit. And Lord, I pray that if anybody be backslidden, anybody be here today not knowing you, anybody with sin in their life, that they would be drawn to Jesus by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Do it now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, why don't you just tell your neighbor before you're seated, I see great things coming your way. It's inevitable. Come on, tell somebody, I see great things coming your way. It's inevitable. Praise the Lord. How many understand that everyone here today is responsible for the condition that you are in spiritually? See, we can't blame Corona for our spiritual condition. We can't blame our situation for our spiritual condition. We can't blame the government. We can't blame the pastor. But every one of us are responsible for our own spiritual condition. And I want to speak today about a word that we are very familiar with. It's a word that is a very strong word, and we don't use it that much in our vocabulary because it is such a strong word. It means intense driving. It means a feeling of conviction. And it's such a strong word, it's used to describe the time between the Last Supper and Christ's death. That word is passion. Can everybody say passion today? Do you realize that everybody in this building is passionate about something? If I were to talk to you for more than 5 minutes, I would probably find out what you are passionate about. And most of the time, we put on our Facebook and social media the things we're passionate about, whether that be a car, a relationship, a job, a home, your grandchildren, a hobby, your sports team that's not playing. How many know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that these things are wrong, but when our passion becomes stronger for the things of the world than for the things of God, then it becomes a problem. And I look around this world and even in church. You know, I haven't been here enough times, but some of you sit in the same seat every time I've been here, all right? If you didn't change clothes, I wouldn't know you went home. But the truth is, I look around at some churches that I've been many, many times. And I look at these churches, and when I look at them, I see people are missing. And I asked the pastor, I said, what happened to those people, you know? And they said, well, they're no longer serving the Lord. And there are people that once were passionate about their serving the Lord that have lost their love for God, and they have compromised their walk with the Lord. The Bible says that in the last days, some will be caught up in the cares of this life. And I think that a lot of people are caught up in the cares of this life. So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions today. Where is your passion, and how is your passion for God? Where is your passion, and how is your passion for God? I want to look at Ephesians 5 and 17 and 18. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, 17 and 18, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You know, I have people come to me all the time and say, how can I know the will of God for my life? I've been around the world and people want to ask that question. How can I know the will of God for my life? How many know the Bible will give you the will of God for your life? The Bible's will is, and God's will is, that none should perish, but all come to repentance. So it's God's will to save everyone here today. It's God's will to save your family. It's God's will to save your ugly, mean boss. Can I get an amen in here? But we find the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So it's God's will for you to be filled with the Spirit. You know that part that says, and be not drunk with wine. Some of you get nervous when I use that verse, you know. But I grew up in church. My dad was a Pentecostal preacher with the Assemblies of God. My grandfather was a Pentecostal preacher with the German Assemblies of God. So I've heard lots of preaching from the pulpit about not being drunk with wine. I take it a little further. I say, don't be drunk with wine, Coors, Chivas Regal, Crown Royal, Jack Daniels, Budweiser, Busch, Jose Cuervo. I better stop there. You may think I know too many, all right? But I say, instead of being intoxicated with the things of this world, he say, be intoxicated with the things of God. We're talking about passion today. And passion, number one, will give you a strong excitement about God and for God, unlike others. Passion will give you a strong excitement about God and for God, unlike others. Do you realize that in America, we have a tendency to compare ourselves with others? But do you realize that the Bible says that it is unwise to compare yourself with others? But we do it all the time. I go to church as much as they do. I give them the offering. I pray. We name all these things that we do. I'm as good as they are. But you know what? I am not running this race to keep up with your pastor. I'm not running this race to keep up with you. I'm not running this race to keep up with other Christians to be as good as. I am running this race to win. Are you with me today? I believe God is speaking to us. And there's something that I want us to hear today. I'm talking about passion. But there was a man in this country greatly used of God. He died in the year 1758. But this man, who God greatly used, he used him at a time when everybody said that you can't have revival. He used him during a time when everybody said people are more concerned about the cares of this life than they are the things of the Lord. It sounds like a day that sounds similar to this day. People say you can't have revival during this time, and you can't have church, and you can't have this, and you can't have that. But during that time, this one man didn't listen to what everybody else said. And he was greatly used of God. Over 25,000 people were added to the church during his time. And this man's name was Jonathan Edwards. And when they ask about Jonathan Edwards, people would ask his friends. They'd come back around and say, what makes Jonathan Edwards different? And all of his friends would say, he is a man intoxicated with God. Now, I don't know, you may not know me very well, and you may have a wrong perception, but I say, I want people to say, there goes a man that's intoxicated with God. What are people saying about you? Are they saying you're intoxicated with money, with position, with fear, with all these different things, or are they saying, there goes a man, a woman, or a teenager intoxicated with God? Because I believe God can still change this world with just one man or one woman or one teenager that is intoxicated for him. I'm saying today, where is your passion? Where is your passion? Let's look over to Acts chapter 6 and verse number 5. In Acts chapter 6, verse 5, we're still talking about passion. The saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to look at that. Look what I've got underlined. He's a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Everybody say that with me. He's full of faith and the Holy Ghost. Now, why am I asking you to repeat? Not because I don't have anything better to do. I want you to remember this because I think it's very important. Stephen is a man full of the Holy Ghost and faith. Now, he preaches a real long message in Acts chapter 7. If I read all of Acts 7, some of you would want to go home. And by the look on some of your faces, some of you are already ready to go home, all right? But in Acts 7, he preaches a long message. Now, how many believe when the preacher preaches, he ought to get results? You realize that when the pastor preaches, he ought to get results. When the evangelist preaches, he ought to get results. When the apostle preaches, the prophet, the teacher, we ought to get results. But why is that? Because we sit in the fivefold ministry gift. I think there's something about being in the ministry gift that God has given. But I'm going to tell you, more than that, when you preach the word, he said he would confirm the word with signs following. He said that his word would not return void, but it would prosper in that which it is sent. The word of the Lord will endure forever. I say, preacher, preach the word and you will get results. So he preaches. But listen to what he preaches. I'm not going to read all of it, but I want to read a little bit of it, all right? Acts 7:51. He said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you." Now, I've been called a hard preacher by some of my friends, but I've never called people stiff-necked and uncircumcised. I'm pretty sure I preached at that church before, all right? But he said, "You do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you." Now, verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. He's getting some results. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven. He was full of the Holy Ghost and what? Faith. Faith in the Holy Ghost. And he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open, the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Not everybody's going to love you when you preach the word. They ran him out of town and they stoned him. Verse 59, they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he knelt down and he cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Here he is. He got some results to his preaching. Maybe not what he was looking for, but he was run out of town. He's being stoned to death. And as he's breathing his last breath, he says, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." We're talking about passion. What would cause a man to say, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge," when he's breathing his last breath? I come up with one word. Passion will cause you to forgive unlike others. Can I get an amen in here? Passion will cause you to forgive unlike others. Now, let's talk about Stephen. We said he's full of faith in the Holy Ghost. Now, if you are filled with the Holy Ghost, faith has to be there. Galatians 3:2 says you are filled with the Spirit by faith. Galatians 3:14, you're filled with the Holy Ghost by faith. So if you are full of the Holy Ghost, then faith was there. But I'm going to tell you, faith and the Holy Ghost come with something else. Love happens. Romans 5:5 says the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. How many understand love is automatic when you're full of faith in the Holy Ghost? Now, I don't know about this church, but I grew up in my dad's church where we had some liars in my dad's church. You say, "What am I talking about?" In my dad's church, we had people say they're full of faith and the Holy Ghost, but they had people in church they wouldn't even talk to. How many know speaking in tongues loses its credibility if we won't talk to one another? Come on, I'm preaching better than your amen in here. See, we had liars in my, we sang lies in my dad's church. All right? This is old church, remember? Old church. "'Tis the old time religion." Next verse. "Make you love everybody." I knew that was a lie. I saw people from my dad's church in Walmart, and if they saw you and they didn't want to talk to you, they'd dart down another aisle. I saw how people acted in church business meetings. Didn't sound like love to me. We sang other lies. Remember that song we used to sing? "Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before." I knew that was a lie too. Because we'd had somebody come in off the street, just off the street, a new convert, get saved. And that new convert could outpraise some grannies that had been in my dad's church 40 and 50 years. If he's sweeter every day, then no new convert ought to be able to outpraise you. Wow. I didn't know I was going to be this way today, but I got a little vinegar in me today, I think. All right? Now listen. You say, oh, we don't sing lies in church anymore. What about that song that was like popular 10 years ago? You know, I could sing of His love forever as long as it's not 12:05. This is how I fight my battles. I'm surrounded by Him. No, you're surrounded by social media. Well, I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. Oh, well, not really everything inside of me. Listen, you and I are named after Jesus Christ Himself. We are called Christians because we are to take on His attributes. And remember at the cross of Calvary, He had thorns thrust in His brow. His hands and feet were nailed to the tree. He was beaten beyond recognition. They spit on Him. They mocked Him. And at that place called Calvary, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Listen, we're going to have to get over some things. We're going to have to get through some things if we're going to be passionate, all right? Jeremiah 9:1, let me hurry up. Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Everybody say, my people. Lamentations 3:48, 49, and 50. Mine eye runs down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. How many know if you don't care about your people, probably no one else is going to? Mine eye trickles down and ceases not without any intermission till the Lord looked down and behold from heaven. He said, I'm going to pray for my people. And I'm going to pray in such a way until there is a breakthrough on their behalf. It may seem like the heavens are brass over my head now, but I'm not going to stop until my people are touched with this gospel. See, what is it? I believe passion, number three, will cause you to pray unlike others. See, I go to some churches, it's gotten so bad now that we might as well have the closing prayer be, now I lay me down to sleep. People come to the altar, and we can get you in the altar, but in the altar, you got to pray. Pray means make some noise with your mouth. Praying is not in your head. If it's in your head, it's meditation. You meditate on the Word of God, you'll have good success. But there's a time for meditating and there's a time for praying. He said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you don't get excited about your praying, probably not much is going to happen. We had a woman in my dad's church. All the old grannies sat on the second row of my dad's church. Sister Mary was on that row, and most of those people have already been gone on to be with the Lord 35, 40 years. She's still living. So she must not have been as old as some of those other ladies. Sister Mary would come to every church service that we had. You know, we had a lot of church. I think my senior year of high school, we had five-week revivals. That's half the year. Some of you say, Pastor, it'll kill me if I have to come to church in more than Sunday morning this week. How many know you can't kill what's already dead? Man, I don't know what is wrong with me today. You know, my mom said, don't say everything you're thinking. And I'm thinking a lot today, and I'm saying it. So maybe I ought to quit, all right? But here. This woman would be in church every time the doors were open. Now, I didn't know anything about what she was going through. We knew that her husband was an alcoholic, but understand, I grew up in a home where the only way I knew about alcoholism was watching TV. I watched the Andy Griffith Show, and I thought everybody was like Otis. You know, a nice drunk. How many know that's not reality? This man, we found out later, would beat his wife every time she came to church. And yet she'd come every time early, and she'd be at the front of the church praying for him to get saved. She prayed every time she came, and she'd get up off of her knees, and she would have the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord was her strength. She prayed 10 years. She prayed 20 years. She prayed 30 years. We moved away. 10 years later, my dad got a phone call one Monday morning. She said, "Guess what, Brother Eccles? I can't wait. I had to call you early. Guess what happened yesterday?" She said, "I was sitting on the second row." She said, "I was praying when the pastor was giving an invitation for people to be saved. I was interceding for people to be saved." She said, "I could hear people walking down the aisle to give their heart to the Lord Jesus." She said, "I looked up and my husband had snuck in. He was sitting on the very back row. And when he gave the invitation, he walked down the aisle and gave his heart to the Lord Jesus." She said, "I've been praying for him for 40 years. 40 years. She said, "Guess what, Brother Eccles? He came back to church on Sunday night and got filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues." 40 years! She said, "Brother Eccles, I don't know what to do." She said, "It's like living with another man. Some of you are sick of living with the one you got. Get him saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. It'll be like living with another man. And legal, too." See, today, we don't have people that pray like that. For me, it was very difficult. When I hear about this man beating this woman, I'm like, he deserves to go to hell. But the truth is, God is not a man. Where our mercy falls short, his kicks in. And this woman, the only thing that kept her husband from a devil's hell that he deserved to go was her praying. I'm going to tell you something. I believe it's time that we begin to pray with some passion, because passion will change the circumstances in your family. It'll change the circumstances in your life. We got to get back to praying, church. Romans chapter 9, verse 1, 2, and 3. Paul said, "I say the truth in Christ." He said, "I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost." He said that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. He said, "I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." Now, what would cause a man to say, "I wish I were accursed from Christ for my friends and my relatives"? I come up with only one word: passion. Passion will cause you, number four, to care more about others than you care about yourself. Passion will cause you to care more about others than you care about yourself. This man, Paul, he said in Romans 10 and 1, "My prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." This is the same man that said in Philippians 3 and 10, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." I'm praying that this week that you will know him and the power of his resurrection, that you will have a close relationship with him, a relationship of passion. You don't know me that well, but I have been to Pakistan many, many times. Pakistan is an Islamic nation, 97% Muslim. We've seen more than 150,000 Pakistanis come to Jesus in crusades. And I'm going to tell you, I was really supposed to be back there in the month of August, but we're waiting for everything to open up. The devil's a liar. I'm going to tell you something. Corona's not a God thing. It is a devil thing. The Bible said he's not willing that any should perish. And as long as some preachers can't get somewhere to preach, how will they hear without a preacher? That is not God's will. All right, whatever. Everybody say whatever. I was in Pakistan. When I'm there in Pakistan, I have a man that he sets up meetings for me. He has an Urdu name, but because I'm from the United States, I don't speak Urdu any better than you do, all right? So I gave him an English name. The pastor there that helps me, He rents the stadium. I send him half the money. He rents the stadium. He puts a deposit on it. He rents the sound equipment. He rents, or he does all the advertising. And then when I get there, I bring the other half of the money. But the pastor that helps me, his name is Pastor Wilson. And I flew to Quetta. Quetta's on the border of Afghanistan. And we're there to hold a crusade at the soccer stadium. When I fly in, I'm expecting Pastor Wilson to meet me. I get off the plane, I don't see him, but I do see a few other pastors that I recognize. They come over toward me and they hug me and I say, "Where's Pastor Wilson?" And they say, oh, very nonchalantly, they say, "He is in jail. He's in jail." I said, "Why is he in jail?" They said, "Well, he baptized a Muslim in water that's punishable by death in our country." He's in jail. We don't know what's happening. But we, right there in the airport, we joined hands and we prayed. And we were believing and agreeing that he would be released. I went on with my crusade. One night, two night, third night, I walked up on the platform. Sitting on the back of the platform in a chair was Pastor Wilson. I went over there and immediately hugged his neck. He didn't look very good. I said, "Pastor, how did you get out of jail?" He said, "Well, they beat me and told me never to baptize a Muslim in water again." He points his finger at me. He said, "But I must be about my Father's business, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost." He said, "It's better to obey God than man." Yeah. I said, "Pastor, how many times have you been put in jail for baptizing Muslims?" He said, "Well, after 20 times, I quit counting." When he said that, I'm thinking, you know, he has a beautiful wife. She has cooked me meals. He has lovely children. I've ate in their home. What would cause a man to risk his life and his family's future to baptize Muslims? I come up with one word: passion. Passion will cause you to care more about others than you care about yourself. Folks, we want revival in a Husky. We're going to have to get to this point where we care about others more than we care about ourselves. You know what this has done to all of us? It's all about me, all about me, all about me. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I believe God wants to move, but it's not just on me, but He wants to move on you and your family. There are people that are hurting right now that need Jesus. Let me close with this. My dad calls me very frequently, and mostly on Sunday he'll call and just pray for me. And he called me a while back, and he said my aunt and uncle were at his house. Now, I want to read something to you. I'm going to get back to that story, but I want to read this. 1 Kings 18:41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain." It hadn't rained in 3.5 years. How many understand? He says, "I hear the sound of abundance of rain." Passion will make you hear different. He's got a servant. He sends him out. "What do you see?" He comes back with a report: "Nothing," 6 times. But on the 7th time, he said, "I see a cloud like the size of a man's hand." It meant nothing to the servant, but to the man of passion. Passion will make you see different. That passion that he had made him outrun horses for 26 miles. Passion will make you run this race different. Now listen. Passion. Where's your passion? How's your passion for God? My dad told me that morning. He said, "Your aunt and uncle are here. They're from Ohio." My dad is from Ohio. And my dad began to tell me a story. He usually only prays for me on Sunday. We're busy. That's our busy day. He doesn't call me and we're not like, "Hey, what'd you eat for breakfast? You know, how's mom doing? You know, and whatever." That day is prayer day, but this day he's telling me a story, and it's a story I could tell better than him. I've heard it so many times. He begins to tell me, and I'm wondering why he's telling me, and you might wonder too, but he's telling me, he said, "I was middleweight Golden Glove champion boxing of Ohio." He said, I live next door to the Assembly of God, the German Assembly of God Church in Mansfield, Ohio. Emmanuel Assembly of God. He said, I live next door. Somebody invited me to that church. They did half the service in German, half in English. He said, they invited me, and that morning the pastor's wife, she said, you must be born again in Sunday school, and I argued with her. Church started, the pastor preached on the coming of the Lord, the rapture. He said, I was under extreme conviction but didn't go to the altar. He said, I had a date that day with a girl from another town, and I ruined the date because I wouldn't drive the car over 25 miles an hour because I was afraid I'd die before I got right with God. How many know conviction's a good thing? He cut the date short and went back to church at Emmanuel Assembly of God that evening. That evening they had a woman evangelist there. She preached on the mark of the beast, 666, and what happens if you miss the rapture. He said that night he ran to the altar to give his heart to Jesus. There were many other people that went to the altar in that church. But one of them was one of his classmates, Johnny Schmitzmatzen. It's a German church. Johnny went to the same altar. They graduated the same class. He's telling me this story. He said, I got up from that altar and I went over to the pastor and said, Pastor, I'm saved. Now what do I do? The pastor said, it's Brother Jensen. Brother Jensen said, son, you need to fast and pray until you're filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, I had to ask him what it meant to fast. 2 weeks later, he heard about a meeting in Detroit, Michigan, where they were having an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He hitchhiked to that meeting from Ohio. He got there on a Thursday afternoon. When he walked through the doors, he began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave him utterance. Now he's saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. He goes back to his pastor. He said, Pastor, I'm saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Now what do I do? Now that's good preaching right there. You should be waving a hanky right there, Pastor. Because most people, they get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, they want to tell you what to do. You know I'm a preacher's son. Sometimes I'm anointed, sometimes I meddle, and sometimes they're so close I can't tell any difference, all right? The pastor looked at my dad and he said, son, you need to fast and pray some more. He said, in 2 weeks you're holding us a revival. My dad was smart enough. He said, Pastor, don't you have to have some kind of Bible school to preach? He said, no, son. He said, you're just going to tell people what God did for you, read a scripture, and God will help you. He said, I'd get in that Bible if I were you. But that pastor had an idea. He knew my dad had a following in that city because he's the middleweight Golden Glove champion. And he put in the paper, my dad with no shirt on. This is in 1948. No shirt on. Boxing, and then the picture next to it was him holding the Bible. Billy the Kid and the Hallelujah Kid was going to hold a revival. In that revival, my dad said, I didn't have a lot to say. I'd just tell what the Lord did for me. I'd swing my arms like I was fighting the devil. I'd give an invitation. Over 150 teenagers gave their heart to Jesus in that revival. My dad's telling me this story, and I'm like, what's going on, you know? From that time, there's hundreds of ministers that have been affected by my dad's ministry. I'm a product of his ministry. He said, your aunt and uncle are at my house. My uncle's in law enforcement. He knows everybody in that town. He's never left the town where my dad grew up. We've been away for years and years. He said, one of your classmates died this week, Bill. That's what he's calling my dad. Johnny Schmitzmatzen. Johnny died the town drunk. Now, what's happened here? My dad saw Johnny like 20 years later from the time they got saved at a class reunion. He said, Johnny, what happened at Emmanuel Assembly of God? He said, preacher, you get out of my face. You're bothering me. What am I saying? There's a price to pay when you lose your passion. There's been people through Corona lost their passion. There's been people, because of situations, lost their passion. Am I saying that you'll become the town drunk if you lose your passion? It's possible. But more likely, the wages of sin is death. But it doesn't stop there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, there's a price to pay if you lose your passion. I want everybody to stand with me today. Everybody stand. We'll dismiss together in a moment. Come on, stay with me if you will. Passion. Passion. Where's your passion? How's your passion for God? I want every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Don't start playing yet, but come on up and get ready. But I'll tell you when to start. Appreciate you guys. Every head's bowed, every eye closed. God's moving on hearts right now. And I'm asking today, are you ready to meet God? That's all I'm asking. I've had people say, why do you ask it that way? Are you ready to meet God? Well, if you've got sin in your life, you're not ready to meet God. If you've got disobedience in your life, you're not ready to meet God. If your relationship with the Lord is not up to date, you are not ready to meet God. Are you ready to meet God? The Bible said it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Are you going to be ready to stand before God? See, sometimes people will not respond because they go, what would my family think? What would the preacher think? You know, I'm a leader. I do this or that. What would people think? You know, the truth is, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. When you stand before God, it's only going to matter what He thinks. Are you ready to meet God? In this building today, I'm going to ask a little backwards, so pay attention. See, some of you say, well, I'm 98 or 99% sure I'm ready to meet God. If you're only 98 or 99% sure you're ready to meet God, I say you're 100% lost. 1 John 5:13 says you can know you have eternal life. Romans 8 says you can know you're a child of God. Luke 10 says you can know your name is written in heaven. How many in this building would be honest today? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. This is between you, me, and God right now. How many would say, preacher, I am 100% sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I'm ready to meet God. I'm 100% sure. If that's you, would you lift up your hand and leave it in the air for a moment? If you're not sure, don't raise your hand. But if you know, raise your hand, all right? Leave it up for a moment. I'm looking. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being honest. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do is put your hands back down. But what I saw, God already knows. He has a book. The Lamb's Book of Life. And some names are in there. And some of your names may have been in there. But then now they're blotted out. That's a whole other sermon. But the truth is, God sent me here. And I'm talking to you about your passion. I'm talking to you about your being ready to meet God. All over this building, in each section, we had people that couldn't raise their hand for whatever reason. I'm asking today, if you want a fresh start, a new beginning, you should say, I'm not 100% sure I'm ready to meet God, but I need a fresh start, a new beginning. You won't be alone if you come. But I'm asking you to come stand here in the front right now. Will you come? Come on. Just come and stand with me right now. You say, preacher, I'm not sure, 100% sure I'm ready to meet God. I'm asking you to come right now. Some young people need to come. Some moms and dads need to come. Come on. There's some leaders that probably should come right now. Come on, I'm waiting on you. Come on, if you'll come, God will meet you here. God will meet you here. Come on, there's others that need to come. Thank you guys for being honest. We had a lot of hands not raised. Either you weren't paying attention or you've fallen asleep. Or you just don't care. But there's still others that need to come. You say, well, I don't want to come to the front. That's okay. We're not forcing anybody. But I'm going to tell you something. He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. You deny me, I'll deny you. But he said, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. I think there's some more people that need to come. Let me ask you this question. How many's passion is not what it was, what it could be, or what it should be? My passion for God is not what it was, what it could be, or what it should be. If that's you, would you lift up your hand in the air right now? See, if that be the case, if your passion's not what it was, what it could be, or what it should be, perhaps you're lukewarm, and he said he'll spew you out of his mouth. You make him sick. Come on, if you think you could rev your passion up a notch or two, why don't you join me here in this altar? Come on, I want you to come right now. You say, I could rev up my passion for the Lord just a little bit more, preacher. Would you come and join me? I told you how I'm going to pray. I'm going to put my hand on your shoulder. I won't be in your face, but I want you to come. And if you don't want prayer, all you got to do is just kind of wave your finger at me. I'm okay, but I still think you ought to come as an act of faith. If you can get close, you can step in there in that second row if you don't want to get anywhere near anybody. But come on, I want you to come. Lord, have mercy in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I want everybody to do this with me right now. I want everybody to lift up both hands if you're physically able. The Bible said, I will that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. When we lift up our hands, we are signifying to God. We're not mad at Him. We're here in faith. Everybody lift up your hands. And I want everybody to help me pray from front to back. If you're listening by social media, I'm asking you to pray with me as well. Pray with me. Repeat after me, but believe it in your heart. Say this with me right now. Everybody, dear God in heaven, I want to know that I'm ready to meet you. I need a fresh start. I need a new beginning. I don't want to ever be the same. I'm asking you today to come into my heart, Jesus. I repent of my past. I have a change of heart, a change of mind, and a change of direction. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe that Jesus rose again on the third day. And I believe He's coming back for me. Today I declare Jesus Christ as my Lord, my Savior, my Master. Jesus, rescue me. I need you today. Lord, give me a passion that gives me great excitement about you. Give me a passion that causes me to forgive unlike others. Give me a passion that causes me to pray unlike others. Give me a passion that I care more about others than I care about myself. I want to hear different. I want to see different. I want to run different. Lord, give me a passion today. Come on, lift up your hands all over this building and begin to praise Him with your mouth right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, let the fire of God burn in these lives. In the name of Jesus, let your anointing flow. In the name of Jesus, let the power of God begin to move in us in a mighty way. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, nothing is impossible today. Nothing is impossible. We plead the blood of Jesus over every life. Come on, be filled with the Spirit today. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to hear something today. The Lord says, do not despair, do not be defeated, but know that today, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony, you shall overcome. You shall overcome. The Lord today will put His hand upon you, and the favor of God shall follow you, even out the door. And you're going to find that He is lifting you up into heavenly places. And you'll see that you will be a blessing. You'll be a blessing not to just a few, but you're going to see that number begin to exponentially increase. The number of people that you're a blessing to, receive it today in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for the Spirit of the Lord brings liberty today. All over this building, pray in the Spirit. Pray with your understanding all over this place. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus. Lord, we declare the anointing destroys every yoke of bondage today in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Spirit of the Lord. Have your way in these lives. Hallelujah. Lord, we declare breakthrough. We declare breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the power of God moving now in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Come on, church, I need you to keep praying right now. Keep praying. Come on, I want you to do something in this place. Everybody put a hand on your stomach right now. Everybody, come on, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Let the Spirit of God move in you today. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I hear the Lord saying, do not fear, do not fear. The report that you've heard, do not fear, do not fear. God says, I have it. God said, I'm in control. God says, I'm going to walk you through it. I'm going to be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you in this hour. Receive. Do not fear in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, let the glory of the Lord rest upon you. Let the glory of the Lord rise in the name of Jesus. Come on, all over this building, let the Spirit of God just move in your life. Hallelujah. We're asking, Lord, for the moving of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God's not done blessing you today. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Come on, God's restoring, God's refreshing, God's renewing, God's reviving today. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, everybody lift up your hands and let's give Him praise right now. We bless your name. We glorify you, Lord. Be magnified, Lord Jesus. Be exalted, Lord Jesus. Be lifted up, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to look at me just for a minute. I believe this week we'll see breakthrough as we keep pressing in. He said if you're hungry and thirsty, He'd fill you. Did He not say that? There's something happening in the world, and we come against that spirit. I say today, Corona, go back to the pit of hell where you belong. Come on, somebody agree with me. We're two or three. Agree is touching. We come against the spirit of fear. We come against division. We come against all political issues. Lord Jesus, be Lord over America. Be Lord over North Carolina. Be Lord over a Husky. Be Lord over this church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I want to read something to you that you've heard many, many times. It says, this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man has a purpose in his heart, so let him give. It says, not grudgingly or of necessity. So this week, nobody gives grudgingly or by necessity. Listen. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. But you know what? He said, but every man, as he purposeth in his heart, let him give. For God loves a cheerful giver. Now, there's some farmers in this community, I'm sure. Maybe in church today. I don't know. I grew up where we had wheat farms, big wheat farms. You got to plant seed in order to have a harvest. But you know what the farmers do where I grew up? They'd plant seed in October, and then wheat would come up the end of May, beginning of June. That's where the time. They'd plant that seed. But if you drove out in the country, there'd be farmers driving, and they'd be driving really slow in their pickup, crossing the line sometimes, because what are they doing? They're checking their seed. You need to check your seed. Keep checking. Don't just give once and say, that's it. But you know what a farmer does if he wants even more bountiful harvest? He fertilizes his seed. We fertilize our yard, and man, it's a, now I got to pay the lawn guy more than I want to pay. Are you understanding? You say, why don't you do your own yard? Well, it's pretty hard when I'm not there. Okay, so I'm capable of work. But I have to pay, but we fertilized it. It got really green. But you know what fertilizer is to your seed? Being a cheerful giver. When you give cheerfully, it's like fertilizer to that seed. I'm going to challenge you today to get involved. Maybe somebody wants to help a whole community, thousands of people get water. We can probably do that for about 5,000 with the pump and with the generator and then with all the pipes and then a big tank. We can get water to a lot of people. Maybe you want to just bring water to one well for $1,500. You say, I can't do any of that. Everybody can do something today. Let's not only go out today with passion for Jesus, but let's do passion for Jesus that causes us to care more about others than we care about ourselves. See, I can get by with less, but I can't get by without telling somebody how Jesus has blessed me. Are you with me today? So let's do something good today. Pastor, will you come? Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Come on, give the Lord praise today. This is an exciting time, a time to be refreshed, a time to be revived in our spirit. God's called many of us to a season of fasting and praying. I commend you for joining us, CSIC40days.com, to fasting and prayer, believing that God would give us breakthrough. And I don't know about you, but the fasting season for us has caused us to be more benevolent in our giving. You know, for us, I don't know about you, but for us, the fasting meant just no food. You don't eat food. Now, that may not be what your fast is, but it's different for you when you don't eat food in 20 days. Come on. I mean, if you don't know that, it's different. But we've had soup broth, liquid. We've had juice. We've had anything liquid, but we've stayed away from solid food. Yeah, I'd love to have a cheeseburger. I sure would. It'd be nice. And guess what? September 11th, I'm going to have 2 cheeseburgers. Amen. But what I've noticed is, I mean, I went to a restaurant just the other day. My wife and I went to a restaurant and said, can you give us some soup, but leave all that other stuff out of it? Just, could you give us this soup? And would you take the carrots out of it? Would you take the celery out of it? Would you do all that? And so our bill ended up to be $3.84. You know? Because when you drink water and get 2 cups of soup, $3.84. So when my wife wrote the ticket, you know, I gave the card and she signed the ticket. We ate $3.84, and the young lady that served us our bowl of soup, we gave her a $10 tip. Amen? Why? Because we wanted to. Amen? That's a lot cheaper than buying $30 worth of food and giving a $5 tip. Come on. So you give because you want to. Amen? You give because you can. You know that there are people in this room that can do a well. I don't know about you, but I love the video looking at the little sign that said, John Doe gave this well, you know, $1,500. That was a blessing, man. I want to see my name on a well. Amen? I want Phillips family. The Phillips family in North Carolina gave this well. $1,500. And you know what? That's not what this revival is about, but it's part of it. It's part of it. And you're not expected to do anything that the Lord doesn't speak to your heart. You're not pressured. If you do something, you need to do it cheerfully. Be happy that you did it. If it's $5 or $50, be happy that you gave what you gave. Amen. So I'm going to ask an usher, would you grab an empty bucket? You guys can go ahead back to your seat. Would you grab an empty bucket? These other buckets are tithes and offerings. So I need an usher just to grab an empty bucket and put it right here in the middle. And as they're playing this last song, if you want to give to missions, if you want to give to the ministry of Doug Eccles and his family, would you just come and drop it in this bucket right here? Just a gift of love to the ministry for what God is going to do this week and what he's done this morning. Thank you so much for your giving. They're going to play. Feel yourself free to be dismissed after you've given. You're free to go. Fellowship outside the building if you would. And don't forget tonight. Somebody say tonight, 7:00. Bring your friends with you. Listen, there's no need for the COVID thing to shut people down. There's no need for it to shut the church down. We're not worried about that. Amen. We'll act in faith. We'll act in obedience. We'll act with passion because God's doing something. Amen. How many of you believe he did something this morning? Come on. He's doing something in our hearts. Look at that. So give cheerfully today. What you want to give, give. Give cheerfully. You'll have that opportunity to do that this week. God bless you as they sing. Just come and give your offering to the Lord today.
I saw the fields, I chose to